The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases, and he drove out many demons. Those words are from today's Holy Gospel, according to Mark, the first chapter. The New Testament is rich with the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is indeed part of the character of Almighty God. We're given example after example of Jesus, God's Word incarnate, healing the illnesses and the brokenness of those who came to him. For example, Jesus is healing of Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum. Jesus is a remarkable example showing to us the compassion for the needs of others, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. How often it is that we only think of healing as physical, asking for God to heal some illness, some pain, or some disease that has taken on either ourselves or the ones that we love. Today, I believe that we need to look at the promises of Jesus Christ. How awesome it was that our opening hymn just happened to be standing on the promises of God. Thank you, Greg. God spoke to you, and that song speaks to us. I believe that we need to look at those promises and how when we let him, when we give him permission in our lives, he can heal our pains, our tortures, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I've got to tell you today that it is only in Jesus Christ, the compassionate healer, that we can be made whole and experience true inner healing. In the Galilee region where Jesus carried out much of his ministry, Capernaum is a town where many people came to Jesus for healing. The Gospels tell us that these people were big on need, lining up in droves for healing, but they apparently were quite short on repentance and faith. In fact, Jesus warns Capernaum about that very fact. He said, "And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Matthew 11:23-24. Well, as we know, Jesus spent quite a bit of his time ministering to all sorts of diseases, but a lot of the time it was to lepers, to people with skin diseases, and others who were considered by other people as sinful, unclean, and outcast to society. Lepers, by the law, had to announce themselves as they walked towards people. They had to shout out, "Unclean!" when anyone was nearby. Can you just imagine the emotional scars? Probably even greater than the physical scarring and the loss of limbs. Having to announce yourself as unclean before you walked in to a group of people. Those who were considered unclean lived in total abandonment, rejection, hatred, anger, mockery, and abuse. Jesus reached out to those who were unclean. But more importantly, Jesus touched and confirmed their faith and their importance in the eyes of Almighty God. And then restored them to a right place in society by instructing them to go to a priest so that their restoration could be certified. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus healed 10 lepers. 10. But sadly, only one returns to Jesus to give glory to God. And Jesus asked him, "Where are the other 9? But then turns to the now healed Samaritan who came and says, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Luke chapter 17, verse 19. Another time, Jesus was on the way to bring Jairus' daughter back to life. When he was stopped by the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Wow, 12 years. He was stopped. The poor woman had endured suffering with hemorrhaging, spending all that time and all that she had on doctors, living in despair and emotional trauma and uncleanness, as well as the isolation, anger, rejection, and shame that went along with it. Yet somehow she knew that if she could only just touch the hem of his garment, that her life would change. And she did touch his garment. And sure enough, the bleeding stopped instantly. Mark's gospel says the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had just happened to her, came and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And he said to her these important and powerful words. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Mark chapter 5, verses 33 and 34. Jesus compassionately and selflessly stopped what he was doing and the mission that he was on. Jairus' daughter could wait to speak with this woman. Jesus compassionately listened to her story. He didn't cut her off and said, "Listen, I got to go someplace." He listened to what she had to say. Every word was important to what she had to tell him. The whole truth. Jesus listened, giving her his undivided attention. He had already given her his power in healing, but he didn't rush off. And instead, he heard the depth of her faith, and then he told her that it was her faith that healed her. God Almighty is merciful to those who believe. Jesus commanded her to go in peace. Jesus gave her his shalom, his peace. He restored her to society, breaking the bonds of isolation, financial worry, despair, shame, and hopelessness. Jesus told her to go in peace and be healed of your affliction. True shalom, true peace is restoration of health, restoration of mind, restoration of spirit. And it can only come from God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the compassionate healer. I'd like you to listen to these words from Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are all over his works. To have compassion is to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. It's important that our own faith is in such a way that it does not doubt or ignore Christ's love and compassion. How often have we read or heard people say that there are no miracles, or that there's no need for miracles today? There are some who think that miracles are somehow a sign of or proof of Christ's deity, his divinity, never stopping to think that miracles and healing are the full and perfect expression of his compassion and love. We see evidence throughout the scriptures of Jesus' healing people purely because of his compassion. We see examples right among us today, miracles that have taken place in the lives of many here present. Deliverance from cancer, other ailments, purely because of his compassion, his love, and a great deal of faith. I want to share with you my own personal story. In 1999, I was suffering from constant, severe pain in my right leg. There was no sitting position that I was comfortable in for more than a minute or two, and I would be hit with searing, searing pain. I had virtually lost the use of my leg after my right hip replacement 2 years earlier. I had undergone several procedures to freeze the nerves and had reached the limit of 7 for that year for nerve blocks, and it was still only June. And I was told, no more. Insurance wouldn't cover it. We couldn't exceed that number. We were blessed to go on a unique intergenerational trip to Israel with our church Redeemer in Jacksonville, Florida. I was limited in my exploration due to my leg, and I missed going to the top of Megiddo because I couldn't climb the stairs. And part of that was also going down to the cistern where water had been stored, where my son found a jug handle and sneaked it home. I missed it. I had to sit on the bus while Marilyn, John, and Teresa climbed to see the magnificent Jezreel Valley and again the cistern. A few days later, on June 21st, in the evening, we were at Magan Holiday Village on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, singing praises. I had brought my guitar and some other folks had as well. We sang praise songs, we shared some tales from our travel, things that we had experienced or we had learned or seen on this trip. And one of the men, named Will, stood up and said with a loud voice, "There's someone here tonight who is in need of our prayer, and we need to lay hands on him." And he immediately got over to me and laid his hands on my shoulder. And quickly, so did everyone else, praying for God's mercy and healing. And I remember feeling such incredible love and caring. And I was overcome with a sense of great faith. And I proclaimed, "Tomorrow I will be healed." How could I possibly know that? But God put it on my heart. And with a boldness, I spoke those words. I remember thinking to myself, "What did I just say? What happens if it doesn't happen?" Well, that next day, June 22nd, we left the kibbutz where we were staying, and we headed south along the Jordan River. Some young people on the trip were going to be baptized, and Father Neil, now our bishop, offered to assist anyone who wanted to take the opportunity to reaffirm, rededicate themselves in the Jordan by putting on the white outfit and being submerged and experiencing, but you can only be baptized once. Marilyn and I gladly volunteered. We excitedly donned the white gowns and headed to Yardanit down the stairs, a traditional baptizing place. Marilyn went first, and Father Neil and I assisted her with her submersion, and then I was next. I went back and under the water, coming up to a sensation of everyone and everything being bathed in the most incredible white light that I had ever experienced in my life. It was so bright, and I kept telling everyone that. Next, I felt a sudden burning in my thigh, followed by numbness and a remarkable sensation, the absence of pain. It was and still is gone to this day. And I can remember being able to run up the steps out of the Jordan, grateful for what Jesus had just done and fully aware that it was him who delivered me from that constant torture and pain. He had given me the faith to expect a miracle. You need to have faith to expect a healing in order to receive a healing. What took place at the shore of the Sea of Galilee when he gave me the feeling, the sensation, the knowledge that I would be healed, to proclaim it out loud, he took care of. Jesus told us the exact conditions that he requires for us to receive any blessing, and he promised this: "Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." Mark 11:24. My dear brothers and sisters, please believe that your prayers have been heard every time you pray. I need to add that this past July, during the trip that Marilyn and I led to Israel, we returned to Yardanit. And this time, I wasn't on the receiving end. I was on the giving end. God used me to be able to allow 16 people to walk into the Jordan River and to experience what it was like in the Jordan to receive God's blessing. They had already been baptized, but they recalled and rededicated their baptisms at the very same place. God is good. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 serves as a great encouragement that it is not the intention of Almighty God for us to suffer and be kept from a loving relationship with Him. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the cross that we might be restored. Restored to a right relationship with Him. Intended for mankind from the very beginning. Free from sin and able to come to God for forgiveness when we fall. Free from death, from eternal damnation. And he says these words, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Also from Paul, in that same letter, are words that I pray will touch your heart the way they touched mine. Clarity and faith in the restoration only found in Jesus. From Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Let me repeat that again. For if you're carrying around baggage, if you're carrying around guilt for something that you did many years ago, and you have confessed, it is gone. Brothers and sisters in Christ, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Get rid of the guilt, get rid of the baggage, and be free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Don't carry around that baggage that is weighing you down, that you feel when you were 16 years of age, when you picked something up that wasn't yours. And every day the devil reminds you about it. Let it go. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Remarkable enough, that evening of June 21st, the day after my 48th birthday, along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, another man, after our time of prayer and I proclaimed the healing that was to come, another man named Tom came over to me and he told me, "God wants me to tell you." And he said, looking me right in the eye, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation." He repeated it to me and suddenly I felt free. I was and had been, up until 1995, a Roman Catholic who carried around guilt, who carried around shame, who carried around a sense that everything was my fault. And that night I felt free. I truly felt free. I really and truly felt free. I was free enough to be healed the next day. And then 2 days later, I was free enough at En Gedi to hear God's voice call me to be a priest. And told me I must do this in grateful obedience. I want to suggest to you today that just as Jesus went to the cross to free us from sin and death, offering eternal life and forgiveness of sins, repented, he also took our illness and diseases with him, offering healing to those who will faithfully receive it. The words of Peter's first letter ring true. He says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." And listen to these words, "For by his wounds you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24. The prophet Isaiah proclaims the same. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we were what? We were healed." In words just prior to today's Holy Gospel, Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Believe the good news. Through the innocent suffering of Jesus on his cross, The righteous anger of God had been satisfied, and through his redeeming power and mercy, we're able to be made right with God. We receive the fruit of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice through repenting. What does repentance mean? It means to turn away from our behavior, to leave it behind and ask God to transform us with confidence, placing our trust and confidence in our Lord Jesus, allowing God to transform us and change us forevermore. We need to go before the cross and lay our sins, our burdens, our weaknesses at the feet of Jesus. And we then can receive complete and total forgiveness there and give God permission to crucify our sinful nature along with Christ. Then we can move into a more powerful obedience, faithfulness, and righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And I just love these words from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. God has promised, and only God delivers. Standing on the promises of God, the words from 2 Corinthians are so fitting. For as many as the promises of God in him, they are yes. He doesn't like to say no to us. He wants to say yes. We're blessed that we've been given the cure. The only solution to what ails the world today can be found in Jesus Christ, who is our compassionate healer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's through the power of his holy word that we can be healed. The word of God has incredible power. Jesus healed the sick and cast out evil just by speaking his word. In the beginning, the universe was created just simply by speaking it into being. And we need to recognize and trust that power, having a great faith like Abraham. Not based on anything that we've seen, but knowing that God will do what he promised, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Not based on anything we've seen, but knowing God will do everything he has promised. The prophet Isaiah recognized that power by proclaiming, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" He continues, "Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary." That sounds like healing to me. Isaiah 40. I want to encourage you to ask God to give you courage to seek in your faith the healing that Christ has already paid for. Ask Jesus to prepare your hearts and minds to seek his healing. If you would like, after this service, a time of prayer and anointing, please come and see me. It's on my heart that we need to put back into play in this church something that has been gone for a little while. And that is, if you are interested in being an intercessory healer, a prayer in the back of the church during communion, please come and see me. I would love to set up a schedule so that as you receive God's precious body and blood, that you could then go back and pray with someone. We'd need teams of two. God wants people to be healed. He wants you to receive the wonderful, precious gifts that he has for his people. And who are his people? You are. Better said, all y'all. Again, I want to encourage you, ask Jesus to prepare your hearts and minds. In the epistle of James, now who's James? It's believed that James is the brother of Jesus Christ. And in James chapter 5, I'm closing, don't worry. In James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, he says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He's to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Right after we pray our prayers to the people, we'll have a time of confession and absolution. And I encourage you, if there is stuff that you've been carrying around, give it to him today. Be free of it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Today is a new day in your life. Be free from that baggage. Walk out of here as a free person, enlightened and lifted up in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you to search no more for healing anywhere except in the one who created and saved us. For it's by his sacrifice on the cross and redemption, we're not only freed from sin and death, but also from sickness. Trust in him, my friends. Trust in him and what he has already done for you. And be clothed in his healing love. As Jesus told many and tells each one of us today, your faith has made you well. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.